The Bellarmine Forum presents Footnote: Catholic Insights from the Culture Wars. Here's your host, Christopher Mannion.
I'm here today with Steve Mosier, president of the Population Research Institute, founded by Father Paul Marx. Steve, we've been talking about Africa in our last interview, and I wondered whether you have some observations about how the Catholic Church can be more effective and more prominent in the programs that the United States supports in Africa regarding helping the poor, keeping them healthy, and raising Africa out of the poverty in which we find it today.
Well, you know, if you go to African countries, you will find two kinds of good works underway, good works in quotes. The first are those funded by our government and by other governments and by international organizations. These are called humanitarian efforts. These so-called humanitarian efforts, as we talked about earlier, always involve a population control component. These so-called humanitarian efforts, of course, are efforts that Catholics in the United States are coerced into funding by their tax dollars being appropriated by the Congress for this purpose.
Oh, that's a great concept, mandatory charity. I like it. Tell me more.
The mandatory charity, and it's also something that some of us contribute to when we make donations to Catholic relief services. But you have to understand that while this may look Catholic here in the United States, to people in Africa it doesn't look Catholic at all. It looks like that CRS is simply an arm of the U.S. government doing the bidding of USAID and everywhere and always promoting population control, lower birth rates. Now, you also have in Africa true Catholic charity. And this is of a kind that we're familiar with from the past. Catholics in the past privately donated money directly to missionary efforts in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. They would donate money to different societies. The French, for example, would give money to the Montfort Fathers, who were very active in Francophone Africa. And they would set up, as a result, with these donations, they would set up schools, they would set up clinics, they would set up orphanages, they would do great works of charity, which were true charity in the sense of being acts of love toward their fellow Catholics in Africa. And they were truly charitable also in that they didn't violate church teaching on the life issues. Mm-hmm. Never did they ever promote abortion, sterilization, and contraception. So you have these two different kinds of activities in Africa, the one humanitarian, generously funded, they have all the money, and the true Catholic charities, which have no money, but which do tremendous amounts of good. And it's a tragedy that American Catholics are only supporting the first and not supporting the second. We're supporting the first, of course, through our coerced tax dollars and through these donations we think we're making to Catholic charities through Catholic relief services. But very few people are now supporting directly the charitable activities of ordinary bishops within their diocese in Africa, where I believe that you could do more good with a single dollar contribution to a local African bishop than you could by giving $100 or $1,000 to these so-called charities that work through huge bureaucracies and impose our own state ideas of population control in a neo-colonialistic way on these populations of Africa. Now, that's not only my view. We have interviewed bishops and archbishops in Africa about the activities of both the U.S. government and Catholic relief services in their country. And I just want to tell you a story. One archbishop that we interviewed said to us, quote, "One day some folks from Catholic Relief Services came here and asked me to put a USAID sign up on the wall behind my desk." Now, our listeners need to understand that USAID is the U.S. government's Agency for International Development, from which agency the Catholic Relief Services in the country where the archbishop was receives almost all of its funding. So Catholic Belief Services wasn't coming into the office of the Archbishop and saying, would you put up a sign, you know, for Catholic Belief Services, because we're Catholics here helping fellow Catholics. No, they wanted to put up a sign from USAID. The Archbishop was incensed, and he told them to get out of my office. Actually, he was speaking in French, and he put it in much more colorful fashion. Now, every priest and bishop that we talk to in Africa says that Catholic Relief Services shouldn't call itself Catholic, or they refer to it as the so-called Catholic Relief Services. And the reason they question the honesty of referring to the agency as Catholic is that it's not funded by Catholics, number one, it's not staffed by Catholics, number two, and it does not intentionally help Catholics. And so if you're not funded by Catholics, and if you're not staffed by Catholics, and if you're not helping Catholics, what's Catholic about you? And of course, there's also the problem of being involved in programs to reduce the birth rate.
Eyewitness accounts are the most reliable, according to my dearly departed friend Warren Carroll, the founder of Christendom College. And one eyewitness of all this from the point of view of the U.S. State Department was Commander Lee Martini, who was the aide-de-camp of Ambassador and General Vernon Walters. They traveled to over 100 countries together. General Walters was Ronald Reagan's behind-the-scenes man to work with John Paul II, with whom they met many times, two-on-one. Lee Martini was then the chief of staff of the U.S. Embassy in Germany. He was chief of staff of the U.S. mission at the UN, all under Ambassador Walters. Having seen everything that the United States was doing in the world, and he saw it all, he decided he wanted to help people in Africa. So he went into the Dominican Order and is now Father Martin Martini, OP, and he runs a school for children in Nairobi, Kenya. Now, this is no easy task, because the first assignment he had upon arriving at his new post was burying his predecessor, who had been shot in the back of the head with a shotgun. So there you have Catholic action on the ground without any bureaucratic interface. And this raises, in my mind, the specter of the future in the United States for the Catholic income, the federal income, if you will, because the Holy Father, Pope Benedict, has just issued a motu proprio requiring that Catholic charities sever connection with any organization that does not embrace and celebrate the Catholic truths. And we are in the midst of a period where we get $5 or $10 billion a year, including universities, hospitals, and charities, that are going to have to review their entire means of operation in view of this new church law, which is now law. What's the future for Catholic charity in this country, Steve, when we recognize that the government is not our friend?
People need to understand how wasteful, first of all, the government is. Of our foreign aid, something between a third and a half never leaves the United States. It's spent in overhead in this country. It's spent on audits, it's spent on trips, perks, and local and very generous salaries to staff. That's not true of authentic Catholic charity. Authentic Catholic charity is very, very efficient. A dollar contributed to authentic Catholic charities goes a long way. So there's that factor. I believe that if the African bishops received from individual Catholics and from truly Catholic foundations, even relatively small sums of money, in the thousands, not even in the tens of thousands of dollars, that they could do enormous good with it. They could open schools. They could open clinics. They could run orphanages, because they have lots of, there are lots of vocations in Africa today. There are lots of young women joining religious orders. There are lots of young men in seminaries. So they have no shortage of hands to work in the vineyard. Sometimes they're a little short of resources, but you know, if you have willing hands living in apostolic poverty, they can do a tremendous amount of good with very little materially. The money from the U.S. government is not just wasted. It is spent on goals that are directly contrary to church teaching. The argument, of course, is that Africa is overpopulated, and the reason is that that people are having so many children, and that these children will wind up dying of hunger. This is a false argument. It's not fact-based. The children in Africa who die of hunger, who literally starve to death, generally do so as a result of avoidable man-made disasters like civil wars, civil unrest. They don't starve because they have too many brothers and sisters. Cardinal Turkson recently said that he didn't have too many brothers and sisters, even though he had 9 altogether, and they grew up in a one-room house with no automobile.
I think he was the youngest.
And he said, we didn't have an overpopulation problem. We had lots of love in our home because there were so many of us to love one another. Very few African children die of hunger. They die of preventable diseases. They die of respiratory diseases. They die of amoebic dysentery. They die from non-hunger-related problems, things that are not connected with how many siblings, how many brothers and sisters they have.
Steve, what is the mentality that drives the desire when you pull back the curtain on all of the platitudes and justifications and focus on the reality? What is driving the attitude that there are just too many people there and we don't want any more?
Well, I've always believed that there is such a thing as a liberal death wish, that the left, having rejected God, having rejected the family, having rejected the differences between men and women, for example, ultimately are rejecting life itself. They don't like themselves very much, and they certainly don't like, they like the rest of us even less, especially those of us who speak different languages or happen to have a different skin color. I think there is a hidden racism in this. I think there is a fear on the part of those who have been child-free by choice, as they call themselves. There's a fear that that over time they will be outnumbered and submerged in a population of believers who are pro-life, which, of course, is, in fact, what I hope their fate is.
Well, I propose in this Lenten season, to counter the liberal death wish, the Catholic life wish.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what all of us pray for and live for, including eternal life. And I wanted to end this interview on that happy note after some dark observations about the darkest continent. So, Steve Mosier, thanks for joining us. I hope you'll come back and talk to us. This is Christopher Mannion. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Footnote, Catholic Insights from the Culture Wars. Footnote is brought to you by the Bellarmine Forum. Copyright the Bellarmine Forum. All rights reserved.